venerable religious and dear parishioners, today's this first Sunday after Easter is called, not without good reason, Mercy Sunday, because we see the tremendous forgiveness of Jesus, the tremendous, well, of course, the infinite mercy that Jesus has as God, and he exercised it upon his apostles on Easter Sunday for the 10 of them that were there by giving them the power to forgive sins after he forgave them their great sin of abandonment of him. But he also forgives on the following Sunday, 1 week after Easter, he forgives that tremendous unbelief of Thomas the Apostle. And I would like to focus today upon the evil of unbelieving so that we can understand how great a sin is. It is to say, I do not believe. And I'll be talking, therefore, about the sin of heresy. It is indeed among the very greatest sins that could ever be committed, and I will explain to you why. We see not only the unbelief of Thomas, and I, by the way, say this with total respect because he is, of course, Saint Thomas the Apostle. But if he were to be speaking to us about his sin of unbelief, he would castigate it in unmistakable terms. But his was not the only sin of unbelief. You might also say St. Peter apostatized. I know that's very strong words to use, isn't it? But remember, he denied our Lord 3 times, and the 3rd time, he swore with an oath that he did not know the man. That's the very definition of apostasy, total renunciation of Christ and of his religion. Now, remember, Peter was not the pope yet, but he was the pope elect. He was designated by our Lord our Lord would build his church, that he would give him the keys of the kingdom. But theologians all tell us it was after the resurrection, after he repented of his sin of unbelief and was forgiven by our Lord, and when he said 3 times to our Lord, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And this was when Jesus fed the apostles breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. That was one of the wonderful places I was able to visit with Mr. Waco last November, the very place where St. Peter actually became the Pope and where our Lord fed them breakfast after the resurrection. So remember, it would not be correct to say our first pope apostatized, our first pope elect apostatized by publicly denying Jesus, any connection with Jesus. And then, of course, there was the unbelief of Judas. He did not believe that Jesus could or would forgive him his sin. And he not only sinned against faith, he sinned against hope, and he ended his life in despair. And then all of the apostles fled, even St. John, the one who had come to stand at the foot of the cross. At first, his faith faltered as well. So it's not just Thomas that sinned against faith. It was other apostles, and it was really all of them. So we see this tremendous forgiveness by our Lord. How touching, how sweet, how overwhelming the mercy of God. He who is all just is also all merciful. And remember, there has to be true repentance on the part of those who receive the mercy of God. Mercy is not forced on anybody. Mercy is given, but it has to be received by that sincere repentance. I am so sorry for my sins. I will do better. But let's focus, as I said, on the tremendous sin of unbelief. I remember after one sermon where I talked about the unbelief of St. Thomas, that a man took me to task a little bit respectfully. He says, "Father, I think you are too hard on Thomas." And I said, "Well, I don't mean to be hard on a saint and an apostle, but I think St. Thomas would agree with me. You know, again, that was a very, very bad what I did." And he said, "Thomas was just wanting to be sure that they really had seen our Lord." And as I thought about it later on, I said, "No, I think I really was correct. Because remember, Jesus said, I will be crucified, I will die, and I will rise again on the third day. He said so." And so when the apostles told Thomas, who for whatever reason was not there on Easter Sunday night, only 10 of them were there, not the 11. And of course, we know why Judas wasn't there. He had already killed himself. But there was no reason whatsoever that Thomas should have been unbelieving of what his fellow apostles were telling him. They were only telling him what Jesus had said would absolutely happen. So it was the sin of heresy that Thomas was committing. "Unless I can put my finger into his side and see his wounds, I will not believe." Do you know why it was such a tremendous sin on the part of Thomas? Because he was saying that Jesus was a liar. The Son of God was not telling me the truth. Do you see why heresy is so seriously wrong? Because it says, "I don't trust God. I can't believe what he's saying." So it was a most grievous sin on the part of Thomas. And even on the human level, if 10 people tell you they all saw the same thing, should you be doubting them and saying, "Oh, you're crazy. You couldn't have happened." So, first of all, he was sinning against the virtue of faith by saying Jesus couldn't make happen what he said would happen. You see, his unbelief was persisting for a whole week. He knew he was contradicting Jesus. And this is after 3 years of being formed by him. And he was disbelieving his fellow apostles. "No, I do not think I am too hard on Thomas in his unbelief." And again, with the greatest respect for St. Thomas, who converted so many souls for Christ, and we honor with the greatest honor as one of the apostles. But this was not a period of his life he could possibly be proud of or in any way exculpate. I was a heretic, he would say. My dear brethren, we should hate heresy, not hate the heretic. St. Augustine gave us that well-known rule, hate the sin, but not the sinner. But we should hate heresy because it is spiritual poison. Just like the father and the mother who hate to see poison lying around the house that their children might accidentally ingest, they will go to extreme lengths to make sure that their children are not harmed. They don't want them to die. But heresy is one of the greatest sins. And our world is rife with heresy. There's so much heresy, as a matter of fact, that it's like, oh, so what if somebody doesn't believe? You know, so what if they say Christ didn't really mean what he said? No, no, no. Heresy is a terrible thing. Let me share with you a couple of quotes here. This one is from Introduction to a Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. He who was known for his gentleness, but this is what he had to say about those who would propagate heresy. It is true we may speak freely of infamous public and notorious sinners, provided it be in the spirit of charity and compassion, and not with arrogance and presumption, nor with complacency in the evils of others, which is always the part of a mean and abject heart. Amongst these, however, the declared enemies of God and his church, such as the ringleaders of heretics and schismatics, must be accepted, and I don't mean ACC, but EXCEPTED, since it is charity to cry out against the wolf wherever he is, more especially when he is among the sheep. So he's saying it is only charity to point out heresy. I mean, it gets to go back to our analogy about poison. What would we think of the parent or guardian or teacher that isn't careful about poison in the house or around children and lets them dabble with it, play with it? It would be the gravest lack of charity. This is not from a canonized saint, but this is Father Frederick Faber, one of the well-known Catholic writers of the 19th century. He wrote this in his book, The Precious Blood. The crowning disloyalty to God is heresy. It is the sin of sins, the very loathsomeness of things which God looks down upon in this malignant world. Yet how little do we understand of its excessive hatefulness? It is the polluting of God's truth, which is the worst of all impurities. Yet how light we make of it. We look at it and we are calm. We touch it and do not shudder. We mix with it and have no fear. We see it touch holy things and we have no sense of sacrilege. We breathe its odor and show no signs of detestation or disgust. Some of us affect its friendship and some even extenuate its guilt. We do not love God enough to be angry for his glory. We do not love men enough to be charitably truthful for their souls. We can dwell amidst this odious plague in imperturbable tranquility, reconciled to its foulness, not without some boastful professions of liberal admiration, perhaps even with a solicitous show of tolerant sympathies. We have not the antique sternness. Our charity is untruthful because it is not severe. It is unpersuasive because it is untruthful. We lack devotion to truth, as God's truth. Our zeal for souls is puny because we have no zeal for God's honor. We tell men half truth, the half that best suits our own pusillanimity and their conceit, and then wonder why so few are converted, and of those few, so many apostatize. Where there is no hatred of heresy, there is no holiness. I know those are strong words. And again, there's nothing in here that tells us to hate the heretic. We should love everyone, but we should never love heresy. Why? Because it's going to derail somebody from God. This is why we are so strong in our traditional Catholic faith. Don't weaken, my dear brethren, because so many have weakened. You know, I remember when I was a boy in the 60s, when my parents were making that anguishing decision to leave our parish because of the un-Catholic and irreverent changes coming into the liturgy. This was even before the Novus Ordo. And nobody quite put two and two together back then. We just knew we can't be part of this. But then we understood that modernists had infiltrated their way into the church. And with approval at the highest levels, we're implementing disastrous changes. We were right to say we want no part of that. And we are still right today to say we want no part of this modernism, liberalism, and heresy that is so rampant today. Stay the course. Don't weaken. And do it in courage and do it in love. We have to let people know how much we love their souls and be prudent. This doesn't mean in St. Francis de Sales and Father Faber would both counsel us with that. But at the same time, don't be wishy-washy. Well, it doesn't matter what you say or what you believe. No, we shouldn't be that way. The truth is the truth. It's God's truth, and we need to be zealous for God's truth. And St. Thomas, I truly believe, would tell us that today. As we reflect upon how badly he fell, he would say, yes, I really failed. Don't imitate me then, but imitate me in my belief. Let us say with St. Thomas, the great apostle, with the deepest faith and conviction, what he himself said to our Lord, to all of his holy teachings, thou art my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.